It's time for the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame Inductee Spotlight Show, brought to you by David Adams and KeyBank. Now, here's your host, Howard Simon.
Good Saturday morning, everybody. Welcome to the third of our four shows, spotlighting the 2024 class of inductees in the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame. We're going to get a quick break because our first guest is actually on hold. Rob Gronkowski is a member of this year's class, and he's going to join us in moments as we kick off today's show on WGR.
Now back to the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame Inductee Spotlight Show, presented by David Adams and KeyBank. Once again, here's Howard Simon.
So I get these bios for all of the members of the inductees that are going in. I don't feel like I need to read the bio for the first guest this morning. I think people have heard of him. Rob Gronkowski is going into the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame, and former NFL tight end joins us this morning. Rob, it's Howard Simon. Good morning. Congratulations on this great honor.
Hey, Howard, man, I appreciate it, man. It's definitely a huge honor to be going into the Buffalo Hall of Fame. And you definitely don't want to read that bio either, because you don't want to know and remind all the Buffalo fans out there how many touchdowns I scored versus the Bills in my heyday.
Yeah, I didn't look up the stat. I'm not going to lie, Rob. It's cool having you on, but I was a little conflicted about talking to you.
It's okay, Howard. I understand. I was conflicted about calling in and talking to you as well, but, you know, you're a good guy. I'm from Buffalo. I always represent Buffalo. Buffalo will always resonate in my heart. It's where I grew up. It's where I learned the fundamentals of my life with my family and friends, and the fundamentals of sports as well, just playing all the little leagues and all the, you know, little league in the Little League community in Buffalo.
I did want to ask you about that, Rob, because obviously there's another Hall of Fame, at least one more, that I know you're going to go into eventually in Canton. But this one is Buffalo. It is your hometown. What does this honor mean to you?
It's big. You know, you definitely never want to forget where you grew up. I just want to thank all my coaches, all my, you know, friends as well that got me to where I needed to get to in the sports world. My parents especially, my dad just working hard to put food on the table for us, and my mom, well, she had five of us. My parents had five boys, so they were running all over the place making sure we were at every practice, every game that we needed to be at. My mom made sure we were fed week in and week out, 24/7 as well, day in and day out. So just a huge shout out to my parents, just putting me in every league, making sure I was where I needed to be every single day. Shout out to all my teachers as well in the Williamsville community. I gave everyone a hard time, that's for sure. So I apologize for that. I am sorry for giving you all a hard time, but it's such an honor to be going into the Buffalo Hall of Fame. This is where my roots are. This is where I grew up. My family, like I said, my friends, huge shout out to all my friends from hockey to baseball to basketball to football. Buffalo is where it all started, Howard.
So you're obviously known for football. Did you play in other sports when you were growing up?
Yes, I'm a big believer in playing all the sports growing up. You learn the skills of other sports, and it translates to other sports as well that you really want to focus on. So kids, play as many sports as you possibly can, then focus on one as you get older and when you really want to know what sport you want to play if you are an athlete. But I played hockey growing up. That was actually my favorite sport.
Wow.
And then basketball was my favorite sport in high school, that's for sure. We had the Green Squall at our high school, Williamsville North, and they showed up every single game. It was just hectic and mayhem, which made it so much fun. And football, I always knew I was going to be a football player. I have the size, the ideal size to be a football player. I always knew that, the ideal, you know, athleticism and strength to be a football player. But loved playing football in high school as well. And another sport, baseball was cool, but I started sucking at baseball when I was a junior in high school. So it wasn't as cool as it was, you know, growing up and playing in the Little League system.
Yeah, it's hard to hit a baseball. Growing up in your house, I've read stories over the years about, you know, you and your brothers and your dad and the competitiveness of the Gronkowski clan. What was it like growing up in that house?
It was mayhem, and I would have never changed a thing growing up in my house. My dad had a rule, just no hitting in the face or no hitting in the nuts, which makes a lot of sense. I mean,
it's a good rule. Yeah.
You got to protect that face, and you got to protect those, you know, gonads. So very, very solid rules. My mom, she just let us go. She used to break up the fights. you know, and get in between everyone. But then she just let us go. She goes, just tire yourself out. Hit each other as much as you want. It was just the best time of my life. And I swear, I contribute my childhood growing up. You know, I contribute, like, you know, what got me to where I got to in the NFL because of my childhood. I mean, I was taking a beating from my older brothers and their friends every single day growing up. And I swear, when I got to the NFL, when I got to a college level, I couldn't feel those hits anymore because I was already taking those hits when I was 2 years old all the way till I was 14 years old just from my brothers and their friends.
Talking to Rob Gronkowski, he's in the class of 2024 for the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame. You know, you touched on a moment ago, your size made you ideal for football. Was there a point whenever you were playing football somewhere along the line where you first had that thought, hey, I could turn this into a pro career?
Yes, definitely. And that was when I was at Williamsville North about my sophomore year when I was on the varsity team with my brother. And shout out to Coach Mike Mammoliti, our head coach. And I just felt like, you know, football was my sport, you know. I wouldn't say it was my funnest sport growing up in high school because, like I said, basketball was legit. We had the green squall. We had the fan base, you know, showing up. Basketball was the funnest to play in high school. But football, I always knew I was going to be playing in college and possibly in the NFL. And I just felt like I stacked up properly at the tight end position. I was already scouting, you know, college tight ends when I was in high school. I was scouting NFL tight ends in high school, and I was already their size. So I just knew if I kept working on my strength, kept working on my speed, I could get to that level. And just my mentality, too, I just felt like football was definitely, you know, the right sport for me. And I wanted to make it to the NFL. I loved playing the other sports, but I knew the NFL was calling my name.
I tried to put off the Patriots questions as long as I could. Sorry, Bills fans. But you get to New England. You play for a legendary coach. What was it like playing for Bill Belichick?
Yeah, it was great, man. I'm so glad I went to New England. I would not change a thing. The Buffalo Bills passed on me twice in the draft that year. I even told the Bills, I need to come home. I need to come home to Buffalo. But, you know, it just wasn't meant to be, which is understandable. And I was a Bills fan growing up. I wasn't a Bills fan when I got to New England. Now I'm a Bills fan again, so it's all good. And just playing for Coach Belichick, I loved every moment of it. You know, it was definitely tough in some situations, but just playing for him, you learn the game of football like no other. I mean, he's the best coach of all times. His football knowledge is incredible. He got you situated in the best position possible to win every single week as well. And that's what made him so great, is that he got his players prepared, you know, in every aspect of the game. And, you know, you couldn't ask for anything more from a coach. Yeah, you know, do that, all the tough parts, you know, having curfew, making sure you're showing up to practice every day. No one gets off. No veterans gets off. That's part of the whole program. I'm glad I was a part of it because it got me right, and it was a wonderful place where I landed, and we won Super Bowls, and that's all that matters.
From your coach to your quarterback, I mean, you obviously know him better than most people. So what, whether it was how he practiced, how he played, everything you saw that went into Tom Brady being Tom Brady, what made him so, well, one of the greatest, if not the greatest quarterback of all time?
Well, it's very similar to Coach Belichick as well. And that's why we were winning championships every single year. And that's why we are in the contention of winning a Super Bowl every single year that I was in New England, because it started from the top, actually, with Mr. Robert Kraft. I mean, the guy was all in with the New England Patriots as well. He wanted a winning team. He wanted to do whatever it took to have a winning team, and he wanted this team in the public eye doing great things as well in the community. So it starts there, and he was all in. And then you have the coach, Coach Belichick. He was all in, and we just talked about him getting players ready week in and week out, you know, so they know what to do when it comes down to game time. And then you have Tom Brady, who's at the very top as well, you know, in the game of football, you know, in preparation, in preparing for the game on the practice field and off the practice field in the meeting room, and just showing up week in and week out, every single practice, every single game with his leadership. So you have just those dominant three that are at the top that are working day in and day out continuously and just leading by example. And then you got guys like myself that are, you know, going out there every single day and you know, hopping on the train and doing everything that we need to do to win. You got guys like Julian Edelman, Danny Amendola on the defense side, guys like Devin McCourty. They're showing up. Vince Wilfork, they're showing up every day and doing everything that they got to do to win games. And that's why we had a championship team and a contention for the Super Bowl year in and year out.
Couple of things left here, Rob, and I don't know, this one might be like asking a parent who their favorite child is, but of all your Super Bowl victories, is there one that is your favorite or stands out for any particular reason?
I definitely would say my very first Super Bowl, because it got me into the Super Bowl club. It was one of the best Super Bowl games of all time when we beat the Seattle Seahawks in 2015. You know, we were down, we came back, we were up, Seattle came back. They got up, and then we took the lead at the end of the game with about 3 minutes left. And then Russell Wilson, they just went right down the field. And then Malcolm Butler with the game-sealing interception at the two-yard line. So it was overall one of the best Super Bowls that have ever been played in Super Bowl history. And on top of it, it got me into the Super Bowl club. I scored a touchdown that game on the final two-minute drive in the first half. Which was just incredible to score my first, you know, touchdown in the Super Bowl. It was surreal. And also to have it done, you know, in Arizona. And I went to college at the University of Arizona. So it was kind of like my hometown, you know, while I was there playing, you know, in Arizona for the Super Bowl. So just overall, man, that's the best Super Bowl in my book that I have.
I have my final question is something I bet there's no way you expected me to get to, but I want to do this. I'm a huge Family Guy fan. So you get on Family Guy and you, right? It was you voicing your character, right? What was that experience like for you?
That was really cool. You just go to a studio and you just do voiceovers and you just act like yourself. And it's funny because you're like off camera. It's just your voice, but you're kind of like playing the role and like acting it all out with your body, but no one can even see you. And all they can hear is your voice anyway. So it was very cool, you know, being able to do that. Family Guy, you know, a classic show on TV, been watching it for a long time. And when I had that opportunity to have an episode about, you know, my family and I, they hit it out of the park. It was hilarious. People were hitting me up the whole, you know, next week after that show saying they saw it and how funny it was. And they did a great job. Family Guy, you know, is one of the classic shows out there.
I take it you did at some point watch the whole episode, right?
Yes, I watched the whole episode. Well, for sure. It's 30 minutes long only. Of course I watched it all.
I didn't know if that's one of those things where you don't want to see, you know, hear your own voice or see. Anyway, it was done really well. So listen.
No, I know what you mean, but Family Guy, I was definitely hearing my own voice for sure with that one.
Well, listen, congratulations again on this fabulous honor. I'm sure it means a lot to you and your family, and I'm sure everybody's looking forward to hearing your speech the night of the dinner, and thank you again for your time today, Rob.
Hey, Howard, I appreciate it. And I have a big connection to the Buffalo Greater Sports Hall of Fame as well. My great-grandpa is in the Buffalo Hall of Fame, the Greater Sports Hall of Fame, Ignatius Gronkowski. He was a five-time world record holder at the Paris Olympics in 1924, so 100 years ago. So I'll be joining him as well. And just for real, man, this is just an honor to be going in, man. This is my second Hall of Fame in the last year I'll be going in. I went into the Sports Hall of Fame at the University of Arizona. And I just appreciate what everyone did for me when I was growing up, you know, in the Buffalo area, from my little league coaches all the way to my high school coaches before I left for college. Just thank you for establishing that base of learning the sports, the games of sports, and just learning how to, you know, go out there and be a team player as well. So thank you to everyone who contributed to my success in Buffalo. And I'll see you all, you know, what is it, November 12th?
November 12th.
See you all November 12th, baby.
All right. Thank you, Rob.
Howard, thank you very much, man.
Rob Gronkowski, part of the class of 2024, Tuesday, November 12th. When we get back, I'll give you some ticket information. There's an early bird ticket sale going on right now. I got a feeling Gronk's acceptance speech will be fairly memorable. It is the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame Induction Show on WGR.
Now back to the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame Inductee Spotlight Show, presented by David Adams and KeyBank. Once again, here's Howard Simon.
The dinner is coming up Tuesday, November 12th at the Buffalo Niagara Convention Center. Tickets are on sale right now. BuffaloSportsHallFame.com, not of. BuffaloSportsHallFame.com. You can get the take advantage of the early bird sale, which is going on through October 18th. You can buy an individual ticket. You can buy a table of 10, whatever you need. Again, BuffaloSportsHallFame.com. Fame.com. One of the members of this year's class is Norm Foster, who played sports in high school at Portville, but eventually went into coaching and coached wrestling, football, and track at Iroquois High School. His wrestling teams were a dynasty. They won 10 straight Section 6 titles. They had a stretch of 143 consecutive wins, and more than 50 years later, it is still the third longest streak in the United States. Norm Foster passed away in 2023 at the age of 92. He is going in posthumously, and his son Patrick is joining us right now to talk about his dad. Patrick, it's Howard Simon. Good morning. Welcome to the show, and congratulations to you and your family on your dad's honor.
Thank you, Howard, for having me. Good morning to you. And yes, I'm very pleased to be here to chat with you about my dad and his legacy.
What do you think this honor would have meant to him? What would he have to say about it?
Well, I think my dad is always a very humble and graceful coach and individual and community servant. But I think he would just be just thrilled and honored, you know, to and probably use it as a platform to kind of extol the virtues of sports and what it does as an outlet for our young people. And, you know, I think that would be his take on it. It's just he lived a life of service, and, you know, but he saw the great value in sports and the respect for sports. That was always a big hallmark for him.
When we get people on, Patrick, I always like talking to them when they're going in, who impacted their life and helped them get to the point where they're now going in this Hall of Fame. Now I'm going to reverse it. In what ways did your dad impact your life?
Oh, absolutely. Just from the, you know, very beginning, I was the youngest of six children. And growing up, I kind of was sort of awestruck in all the years, you know, with the sports and things. I remember going to scout football games with him. That was something I looked forward to on a Friday night after school. I'd come home. And I know my brothers, older brothers, share that same sort of a value for that we would go out on a Friday night and my dad and Coach Wright, the late Jerry Wright, they'd be out scouting games, and we just would just enjoy being with them. I enjoy being around the wrestling teams. When I was kind of a toddler and quite young at the time, but I remember how well the wrestling athletes treated me, you know, just sometimes giving me a joyride on the wrestling mat carts and things like that. So there's so many great memories just growing up, you know, just but also seeing the way my dad – student athletes had a great respect for him. And I think it's because he respected them so much that they, you know, they always came back. Even after years, many, many, many years after my dad had coached, there were athletes coming back to our house on Chateau Terrace to visit. And just, you know, he had had such a big impact on them. So looking at how it's impacted me, I kind of, my dad was in almost an astonishing listener. He had a way of kind of focusing in and listening. And so I've tried to, if I can be better at that, that's something that's always affected me is seeing, you know, the way my dad was able to listen to his athletes and, you know, just have that relationship and rapport with them. So I've tried to see if I can build that into my professional life and even the way I conduct myself and comport myself.
I'm glad you mentioned the story about, you know, the former athletes coming to visit him, because I mean, a coach is a teacher, and I've always thought, you know, that teaching has that rewarding side to it. And even after your kids graduate, you have such an impact on them that they come back later in life to visit you. What do you think, how much did coaching mean to your dad, working with the kids and having, as coaches do, an impact on students' lives?
I think it meant everything to him. I think he had that kind of draw, he kind of a way of attracting people. Like when it was many of my friends who all played for my dad have always said the same thing. You know, there was a special, my dad had a special way of approaching a young person, you know, with kind of a gentle touch of the elbow and kind of say, you know, have you thought about wrestling this winter season? Have you thought about coming out for football? And they were very responsive to my father. You know, I think that he had a way, and I think it's when he went on and became a deacon in the church and faith community, he was the same way. You know, he had a way of attracting and getting a response from all those that he associated with. And I like to think of it as, not to get too biblical, but he was kind of a fisher of men. You know, he kind of mm-hmm. brought people together, knew how to attract and interest them to be around. They wanted to be around what he was doing.
He played multiple sports in high school. He ends up coaching multiple sports. But in reading his bio, is it fair to say, Patrick, that wrestling was his true love?
I definitely think so. Yeah, I think it was. He did love football, too. But I think wrestling, he really took off with and had that great success and run with wrestling. And I think that's accurate, that wrestling and football together, but probably wrestling a little bit more.
Football is football. I mean, it's always such a famous sport. But wrestling, what role do you think, and he's in so many different wrestling Hall of Fames, what role do you think he played in the growth of scholastic wrestling here in Western New York?
I think definitely a major pioneer for that. You know, he was the president of the Western New York Wrestling Coaches Association, he was the first president of that organization. And he went on and served in Section 6 in ECIC chairperson roles. And I know, and others too, Ed Michael with UB, there was, you know, Fred Marchison and others. But my dad was right in there and to kind of really forge the sport ahead in terms of being, especially as being a great outlet for our young people, a focusing sport, focusing and discipline and an outlet for them. I'm proud to say the Buffalo Schools has just picked up the wrestling last year, and it really made me think of my dad with his passing in this past year. But Buffalo Public Schools had the wrestling program for the first time and had some success. We had one of my Bennett football players, Kamari Cook, went on and became a sectional champion. So it always reminded me of my dad, but his role was really a real pioneer in that coaching and in kind of also instilling a great love of the sport. One of the things when I was young, I remember we wrestled in the Junior Olympics, and I remember being out at Williamsville East High School, which was brand new at the time, and you could still smell the building as fresh at the time, and we'd be out there at Williamsville East where there were Junior Olympic tournaments and things like that. So my dad was always looking to take a lead role with that.
I was, again, looking at his bio, Patrick. Obviously, he's going into the Sports Hall of Fame for those accomplishments, but you know, he was a lieutenant in the Marines. As you mentioned, he became a deacon in the Diocese of Buffalo. He is very much active, volunteering in the community pretty much his life. It would seem like your dad led a very full and productive life.
Yeah, most definitely. He was, you know, he was very outgoing in so many different things. And I think, and one thing kind of led to another. I think his coaching and leadership kind of led him to the calling with the faith community, gave him that kind of catapult into those avenues. But yeah, definitely a full and outgoing life and, you know, had a great deal of energy, you know, a prodigious amount of energy for the things that he was involved with.
Well, Patrick, again, congratulations to you and everyone in the family that you get a chance to share on this wonderful honor about your dad. And thank you very much for talking about him on the show today.
Thank you, Howard. And if I just might send my condolences to the Miskey family. I know David Miskey was one of my great, friends and one of the a great athlete at Amherst High School when I played, and his father is also a member of the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame for his great work with Major League Baseball scouting and also as an official with the Section 6 boys basketball. And my condolences to the family, and what just such a loss, but we had such an astounding showing of in the community for David this past Wednesday. I just wanted to acknowledge that.
Nice of you to point that out. Thank you again, Patrick, for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
You bet. And before we go to break, let me just give you a quick update on the auction. Part of the whole process with the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame is an online auction, and there are a number of items that you can bid on. I'm looking at it right now. Again, if you'll find the link at the Hall's site, again, BuffaloSportsHallFame.com. And there are, it's not just sports items. You can bid on a Taylor Swift hand-signed acoustic guitar. I'm sorry, I was just thinking that, like, if the Bills lose to the Chiefs in the playoffs again, you might want to smash the Taylor Swift hand-signed, but don't do that. It's a really valuable item. There's an Aaron Judge hand-signed card, something from Jack Nicklaus. We've got John Wayne, Ron Turcotte, who rode Secretariat to that amazing Triple Crown in 1973. Rob Gronkowski was on the show this morning. We've got hand-signed jerseys from his time in New England and Tampa. A Larry Bird hand-signed jersey. So there's a little bit for everybody. A lot of different sports are represented. There's Bills stuff there. Andre Reed. There's a Bills hand-signed jersey by Andre. An item from Muhammad Ali. And cool stuff like a chance to go see the Eagles at the Sphere in Las Vegas. And a vacation in Waikiki. So go to the website, BuffaloSportsHallFame.com. You will find the link for the auction, and you can bid on the auction items there. The proceeds from the auction will help benefit the Amateur Sports Development Fund. Halfway to go on our show here today. We will be talking a little bit later about the Hall with their president, John Maddock. Up next, we're going to talk with Walt Stefani about his amazing career in volleyball.
Now back to the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame Inductee Spotlight Show, presented by David Adams and KeyBank. Once again, here's Howard Simon.
And we are a month away from the dinner. The 34th annual induction ceremony and dinner will be Tuesday, November 12th, Buffalo Niagara Convention Center downtown. Tickets are on sale now, BuffaloSportsHallFame.com. And you can take advantage of the early bird sale. It is going on through October 18th. Again, you can buy an individual ticket if you like. If you need to buy a table, you can purchase a table of 10 for the dinner. You can take out a program ad to congratulate an inductee. I mentioned the Amateur Sports Development Fund, which is very important. So many groups in our community are able to benefit and get money from this fund to help them out. You can also make a donation, if you'd like to the Amateur Sports Development Fund. You can do all that at BuffaloSportsHallFame.com. Next up is Walt Stefani. Walt is all about volleyball. Took over the volleyball program at Orchard Park High School in the late 70s and built a dynasty there. They won 18 divisional titles, 10 Section 6 D1 championships, 3 regional championships for New York State. Twice his teams had undefeated seasons. Undefeated teams won all of their matches. Not once did they ever get to a deciding set. 34 years of volleyball coaching, 613 wins, a .763 winning percentage, numerous Coach of the Year honors in Western New York, and Walt is in 5 Halls of Fame, and he's about to go in number 6, the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame. Walt, it's Howard Simon. Good morning. Congratulations on the honor, sir.
Well, thank you. It came at a time when I wasn't really expecting it, but I'm humbled to be included this year.
So, okay, then it caught you by surprise. What were some of your first thoughts and reactions after you found out you were going in?
Well, on a funny side, when I got the call, I thought I was being pranked by some of my friends. And when I finally realized that it was the truth, I had to take a seat and say, oh, my God, after all this time, it finally came through.
That's pretty funny. So what does it mean to you, Walt? I mean, we're going to get to your career and so many of these great accomplishments, but when you had maybe a moment to stop, sit back, and digest the information, what does this mean to you?
Well, you know, I think for any of us that are going in, it's quite the honor to have your hometown look at you and say they appreciate the body of work that you've done in your various field. And I don't think we all are looking for the accolades, but when they do come, it's fantastic, and I'm humbled. And also, to be included with such greats in this Hall of Fame, like with Jim Kelly and Marv Levy, and going in with Rob Gronkowski, I think Well, yeah, I said, I'm just a small peanut of the sports, area here, and yet I'm going to be amongst some of the giants, which I'm humbled by it.
I know when someone gets an honor like this, they tend to think about so many people that have had an impact in their life and helped them get to this point where now you're being honored for your work. Who are some of the people in your life that you'd like to point out?
Well, I know I'm going to mention this later on, but my whole sports career started with Leo Newton, who was one of the Baker boys in Lackawanna. And when I was in fourth grade, he came and gave me a basketball and a pair of new cons. And he said, "Champ, go out and shoot and become a star." And he basically taught me how to play basketball. And I met Coach Joe Foley at Lackawanna, who taught me volleyball. And we went on to have that great team that was the first divisional winner in Lackawanna's history. And then the great Bill Billows, who's in the Greater Buffalo mm-hmm. Hall of Fame, he's the guy that really taught us how to play basketball and be tough nut guys that worked hard. But I think that those guys really, really got it started. And then when I met Charlie O'Brien, who's also in the Greater Buffalo Hall of Fame, he was a coach at Cleveland Hill that had the great 10-year winning record, and we ended it in 1972. And he came up and shook our hands. And, I learned a lot about how to win and how to lose that day, even though I was only a 17-year-old senior at the time. And I will never forget that moment when he came over and told us how great we were.
Wow. So that's your playing career. At what point did you decide to get into volleyball coaching, and why did you want to do that?
Well, once I got the career started at Orchard Park in 78, I thought I was going to be following the basketball career pathway. And when volleyball opened up, I jumped at it, and I didn't realize what I was getting into because they only had a varsity program, and I had to figure out how, if you're going to make this thing work, you got to have a feeder program somehow. And so I created what was a varsity A and a varsity B team, and I actually was in the gym with 30 guys at one time trying to teach them how to play volleyball. I can't even remember how I did it now. All those bodies. And thankfully, when I got my first JV coach, Bob Gold, that lessened the work and I could concentrate on the varsity more. But that's how I started volleyball. And I just, I've always, when I played volleyball, it was all Western New York in volleyball. And I always had an interest in it. And I finally chose that as the sport that I was going to concentrate on. And I'm glad I did.
I mentioned some of the success you had at Orchard Park, the 18 division titles, the 10 Section 6 titles. What were the keys to building the dynasty? How were you able to sustain winning all the time when obviously kids are graduating and a new set are coming in?
Well, part of it I got to give to the JV coaches that, they're the guys that, set the seed. And when I got them, I think one of the biggest things is get the kids, if they can buy into what you're teaching them, and you gave them a chance to learn quickly and to make the sport fun, I tell you what, Al Stapes at UCLA said, if you keep them laughing, they're going to keep learning. And that's what we did. We had some comedy. We had some fun. And they all bought into the system that I was teaching, which largely came from the West Coast system that I was, from contact with Al Stapes. And I tell you what, the kids just keep coming and coming, and brothers. And I, if it wasn't for all this great athletes, I don't know if I'd be here today.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you that we had Patrick Foster on in the last segment, and he talked about his dad, Norm Foster, who coached wrestling. I'll ask you the same question. Obviously, when you're a coach, you're teaching the sport. You're trying to teach them how to succeed at whatever sport you're coaching. But did you also feel there was a responsibility to be somewhat of a life teacher as well? Do you think that came with coaching the sport? And if so, how important was that for you to impart life lessons on the kids that you talk to?
I think that's a very, very important part of being a coach. Not only are you teaching sport and how to win and be aggressive in X's and O's, but I think you also have to teach, in my case, it was all guys. I didn't have the girls team, but you're trying to teach them how to become good young men. And how to make good decisions in their lives. And so we talked a lot about those things during the coaching. And we had the kids going out and doing community things and supporting their stuff and being, I told them to don't come down to practice if, for example, if you got a big test and that's on your mind and you come to practice and that's in the back of your mind, you're not going to practice well. So skip practice, go do that test, and then come to me later. We'll be, you know, I want them to come into the gym and be fully immersed in what I'm doing without any baggage from the outside. And that was one of our rules, you know. So I, a lot of times the kids would come to me with some of their problems and we'd discuss things and you know, it just seemed to work, you know?
Mm-hmm. I also wanted to bring up your coaching opened up different doors for you, rather interesting avenues, including coaching in the Empire State Games. And I know I had a chance to see some events when they were here in the mid-80s. What was that experience like for you?
Well, you know, the when you coach Empires, whether at the scholastic level or the open level, what you have, the hardest thing that you have to do is you have so many athletes to pick from, and you have to pick an all-star team. But at the same time, you got to get the correct people that will play well together. And I tell you what, it's really incredible. When you have that high-level talent, and you don't have to really teach much, it's more organizational and getting schemes together. And it's a thrill to be around that kind of talent. And so having that opportunity to do that, especially at the open level, you know, with these collegiate guys and everything, I could see what it would have been like to be a college coach at that level, because these guys can really crank the ball, and they're very, very athletic, and they're very eager to compete.
Off of that point, I did want to ask you about the evolution of the sport from when you first got into it, even if you want to go back to your playing time at Lackawanna High School. You know, you look at it now, and Walt, you could turn on your television and find a college volleyball match on TV somewhere. Of course, in the Olympics, we see volleyball at an extremely high level and very entertaining to watch. How much do you think the sport has evolved and grown over the years since you started playing in it and then coaching it?
Well, when I started playing, if you look back to that time in the 70s to where it is now, it's like night and day. Not only are the athletes bigger, stronger, more knowledgeable, the game, the speed of the game is absolutely incredible. I mean, if anybody gets a chance to sit courtside and watch how fast these guys play and how hard they hit the ball and the reaction times they have, it's absolutely incredible. I think when I was playing, we ran a very simplistic offense. They call it a 4-2, two setters and four hitters. And now everybody runs what's called a 5-1, which is one setter setting five guys.
Mm-hmm.
And the offense comes from the front, it comes from the back, it comes from the sides. It's very, very involved, as well as how the defense is played. It's very, you know, people don't realize how much goes into positions and where they have to be. And if they make that mistake, the point is gone.
Well, Walt, congratulations. You're going to have to build another mantle in your house. Now you're going to be in six halls of fame. You're already in five. So congratulations again on this amazing honor.
Well, thank you. And I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, the board, you know, I'm thankful for the board. My late wife and Dennis DiPaolo really got this thing going a long time ago, and I didn't believe that they could get it done. And here it is. I'm on the doorstep and 1 month away from it. And I'm still very humble about it and at the same time very excited.
Well, it's certainly well-deserved. Thank you very much for coming on the show with us this morning, Walt.
Well, thank you for calling.
You bet. Walt Stefani, member of the class of 2024. 1 month from now, we'll go in Tuesday, November 12th in the induction ceremony and dinner. We'll talk more about that, get you all the information on tickets and a whole bunch of other stuff. That is coming up in a moment as we will be chatting with the president of the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame, Mr. John Maddock. That's coming up in a moment on WGR.
Now back to the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame Inductee Spotlight Show, presented by David Adams and KeyBank. Once again, here's Howard Simon.
Let me do one thing before we get to John. Let me remind everybody, the auction is underway at their website. Again, BuffaloSportsHallFame.com. And you can bid right now online on the various auction items. Some are sports-related, some are not. Some are music-related. There's a vacation in Waikiki. So again, if you go to their website, and you'll find the link to bid on the items. Lots of different things to choose from. And the auction, of course, helps the Amateur Sports Development Fund. That's one of the things that fund we'll talk about with the president of the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame, John Maddock, who joins us right now. Good morning, Mr. Maddock. How are you?
All right, Howard. How are you doing this great Buffalo morning?
I am good because my favorite baseball team is still playing as opposed to yours.
Well, you know, I wanted to congratulate you on that one. I also want to congratulate you on being inducted in the Buffalo Broadcasters Hall of Fame. That's a great honor for you and really, you know, all the work you've done over your many, many years of broadcasting in Buffalo. Great you got that honor.
Hard to believe that all those years ago when you gave some annoying kid from Buff State a press pass to watch Nick McCarchick's teams play at the Kessler that we'd be talking about that.
Yeah, you think you were also on the air when Buff State upset Canisius.
I was calling the game. Yes, I was doing play-by-play that day. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and were you Jay Moran?
I was, yeah.
The two of you were on that a long time ago, but that was a heck of a game for Buff State.
Not it was.
For Canisius. But,
yeah.
So you mentioned the auction there. Just one thing. It's not up on the site yet, but we've got an autographed baseball from, I think it's a 1978 Tigers team.
Oh.
That started year 30-5. It's several Hall of Famers on it. So look for that coming up soon. But that will be, it's one of those local donations that we get
cool.
We use to help the Amateur Sports Development Fund. The Tigers are, you know, they win today. They're going on to play
yep.
the Yankees. So
yep.
we'll see what happens there.
So the dinner is November 12th. Let's talk about, for folks who want to get tickets, they're looking for information. You might want to go just to hear Gronkowski's acceptance speech. I feel like that'll be a very interesting speech. What do people need to know about how to get tickets?
Well, all you have to do is go to our website, the GBSHOF.com, or you can just put Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame, but go to GBSHOF.com, and on the very front, as soon as you open it, you'll get a box where you can order tickets. And, you know, the tickets are $130 a seat or $1,300 for a table of 10 up until October 18th. You have a week, less than a week now, to get them at the lower price. Then they go up $20 a ticket starting on the 18th or 19th. So if you do want to go and you want to save a little bit of money, I would encourage you to do that this week. And you're right, being there to hear Rob's acceptance speech and even have a chance to meet him because he'll be in the crowd mingling. And if you ever wanted that opportunity to see Rob Gronkowski and listen to him talk, this is a great opportunity for you, along with a lot of other deserving people.
Yeah, when you look at the class in its entirety, John, every class has its own different things about it. What stands out about the class of 2024, in your opinion?
Well, you know, that's a great question, Howard, because every class seems to stand out. And as soon as we put one in or make a decision in the spring about who's going in, we go, this is one of the best classes ever. And then we say the same thing every year. So there's just a lot of great stories. I mean, you've got not only Rob, you got another great professional athlete in Brooks Orpik with a yep. couple Stanley Cup championships. And, you know, Vic Carucci, who you obviously know very, very well and well-deserving from the media angle. One of the ones I think people may not know a lot about, but a lot of people know him, is Warren Gelman. Warren was on our board a long time ago, but he played hockey at Yale University, captained their team when they were ranked the top five in the East, and then came back here and really championed the beginning of girls sports, girls hockey in the area, and really is the founder of all that. And he also was a softball coach, and he brought the U.S. Olympic team here, and he's just done a lot of things. A club champion at Cherry Hill about 20, 30 years ago. So it's just a great overall inductee for us, and one that really represents the best of Buffalo and has stayed here his whole life. And I think we're all excited, and a lot of his friends and family and fans are happy to see him go in.
John, what does it mean? The variety of honorees, let's talk about that. Professional sports are covered, amateur sports, players, coaches, administrators, all sports are covered. How important is that for the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame to make sure everybody gets their just due, basically?
Yeah, you do. And, you know, we sit down to do that, those inductions and our selections. We go through a couple of rounds, and try and see where we end up with. But then you're looking also, what are we missing? Because there's so many people that we look at. We have over 600 names on our long list of inductees. It gets pared down to the 12 that are going in now. So it becomes a very challenging decision and one where you're trying to have some balance to it. But we always end up with a really diverse class as far as a lot of different things go. And you mentioned all the different categories, and that's really what you're – it's just isn't all professional athletes, not just all Buffalo Bills or Sabres. It's the college sports administrator, the coach, somebody like Warren, who's devoted his entire life to sports in Western New York, and Bridget Nyland, who became an outstanding administrator at the NCAA, was a great runner in college at UB, stayed around with the athletic director at Damon. There's just so much. And, you know, look at Cecily Owens. Cess is the founder of the Girls Foundation in Buffalo, the Goals, Integrity, Respect, Leadership Sport that aimed directly at young women. And she was a star at Buffalo State, but stayed local and is really giving back to the community. And that means a lot.
But you know what also I like, in addition to the individuals, and again, everybody getting their just due, you folks have a team of distinction inductee as well. And it's one of the Bonner basketball teams this year. I know, I think it was a Sweet Home volleyball team. I'm trying to recall. There was a Plant Six softball. I mean, that was a great idea, too, to honor specific teams.
It is. And we try and take almost a generation of a team if we can, or something just iconic. The first one we put in was the UB football team from the late 50s. Yep. But now it's the Bonnie teams, the late 60s, 67 through 70. It's really the three teams that are going in together. The years Lanier was there, and hoping Bonnie Nation and Bonnie Faith will come out and support that class, because that's kind of a neat thing we added. And every year we try to identify a great team. And we're really looking more for those amateur teams or the unsung ones, the ones that don't get written up in the paper on a daily basis. And that's kind of where our direction goes right now with those teams. And we've got a long, long list of those, as you can imagine.
One of the things the Hall has done in recent years is had to find a new location for the memorabilia. Can you talk a little bit about, it's out at Dave and Adams now for folks that don't know it, which is a fantastic place for sports collectibles. But just talk a little bit about having that site and what that means.
Well, it means a lot, because we were in storage for the last 6 or 7 years, and nobody could see all the items that we had collected from our inductees. And Dave and Adams really stepped up for us, located on Sheridan Drive. We've got, I think, 11 or 12 cases out there full of memorabilia. John Boutte, who's our curator, I guess you would call him, just does an incredible job at the display. So every inductee over the years, which is, I think, right around 400 now, has a little spot in that display case. So I would encourage anybody, if you're out driving like today, stop into Dave and Adams. They're a great store, number one, if you're looking for collectibles or things for the holidays coming up. But also, just take a walk by the Hall of Fame area as you come in, because it's really, really memorable to see everything that's in there and the items that were left. And I think John's favorite one is Marv Levy, when he was inducted in the Hall of Fame. You get two busts of yourself. And he donated one of those
wow.
to us. And to have that as one of our showcases is really, really special, and shows what Marv thinks of the city of Buffalo and everything each of us did for them.
Before we let you go, I definitely want you to talk about the Amateur Sports Development Fund, because of how important it is and how it does get money to organizations that can desperately use the help.
Yeah, well, we talked earlier about pushing tickets and sponsorship and program ads. Definitely drive revenue, but we're not lining anybody's pockets with those. That's all going back to the community. And since the start of the organization, we've donated just close to $250,000 back into Buffalo area amateur sports. And those go to individuals and teams, organizations that may need a little boost here or there, $1,000, $2,500, whatever it happens to be. Maybe they qualified for a trip out to California and can't afford it, or they have old equipment or something was lost. And I think that's what we're most proud of, in addition to the people we induct, is what we give back to the community. And we have a committee that looks at that, and we decided on 11 organizations got the money this year, and I think we had close to 30 applications. So if you are a member of a youth sports organization or an amateur athlete and need some extra funding, you just go to our website, and there's an application there, and you fill it out, and those get reviewed every March and April, and then we make those decisions in May about who's going to get some of that funding.
Well, John, listen, before we go, I did also want to say, if you want to place a bid in the silent auction for either the Eagles concert at the Sphere or the vacation in Waikiki, and then if you win, give it to me. That'd be really cool.
Well, my brother-in-law was just out to see the Eagles at the Sphere, and he said it was unbelievable.
Yeah, I've heard it's a great show.
Incredible place to have a concert. And, yeah, he said it was so memorable. It was one of the greatest things he's ever been to. So,
Well, we're looking forward to the dinner, John. Thank you so much for all the information.
All right. Thanks for supporting the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame, Howard. And, again, congratulations on the Mets and your induction to the Hall of Fame.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it, John. I'll see you soon.
Yeah.
All right, we will come back and close the show. And on the way, just moments from now, it is Sports Saturday with the one, the only, the legend himself, Derek Kramer. Yeah, he's coming up just a moment, I'm pretty sure. I think he's going to spend the first half hour talking about the Mets. All right, we'll close the show in a moment here on WGR. Hey, that's my cue. Okay, I want to thank our guests today for joining us on the show. We will have one more of these shows next Saturday, 10 o'clock in the morning. We'll speak with four more inductees in the class of 2024. And again, don't forget, you can purchase your tickets by going to gbshof.com. Don't go anywhere, because right across from the table, preparing studiously to inform and entertain all of you, or something resembling that, is our very own Derek Kramer. Sports Saturday on the way, just moments here on WGR.